From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Within days of finishing a Minnesota Department of Natural Resources effort to capture 49 moose calves and fit them with GPS transmitter collars, 22 of the newborns already have died, most killed by black bears and wolves. While it was expected, calves, like fawn deer, are most vulnerable in their first few days and weeks, the high level of mortality is a reminder, even for veteran researchers, of the harsh realities of the North Woods food chain. Wildlife researcher Glenn Delgittis said, quote, "Especially in the last few days, bear and to some extent wolves have just been hammering the calves," unquote. Delgittis, the DNR's lead moose researcher, told the Duluth News Tribune, quote, "We knew that we would lose a lot of calves quickly, but to see it happening in real time like this is all new for us," unquote. This year's late snow, cool spring, and delayed green-up in the forest might have pushed more bears to find moose calves. "You could have 100% of the calves survive, and that wouldn't solve our problem," Delgittis said. "Our problem in northeastern Minnesota is that too many adults are dying, not enough are surviving to reproduce to sustain the population." The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources confirms that zebra mussels have been found in Sand Lake in Itasca County. DNR experts confirmed the finding of a homeowner who found adult zebra mussels attached to a dock removed from Sand Lake last fall. The Duluth News Tribune reports preliminary searches of connected waters also found zebra mussels in Little Sand Lake. Sand Lake and Little Sand Lake are part of a chain of lakes that eventually flow into Big Fork River. Additional searches of connected waters are being performed to determine the scope of the infestation. Zebra mussels continue to spread across Minnesota. The tiny pests first were discovered in the Twin Ports Harbor decades ago after moving into the Great Lakes in the ballast of ships from Europe and Russia. Business and government leaders in the Great Lakes region are pinning hopes for a return to prosperity on a precious resource, fresh water. They're encouraging the development of a so-called blue economy, a network of industries that make products and provide services related to water, from pump and valve manufacturers to resorts offering lakefront vacations. It's happening as growing water scarcity casts a shadow over the economic boom in Sunbelt states. They've benefited for decades from an exodus of people and jobs from the upper Midwest as its industrial core faded. In Milwaukee, an organization called the Water Council is opening a refurbished building this summer that will bring together scientists and entrepreneurs to develop water-related businesses. Four people who were reported missing after a weekend boating trip on Lake Superior have been found safe. The U.S. Coast Guard says the group left Silver Bay last Sunday afternoon, heading for the North Shore. The trip was only supposed to take a few hours, so when they hadn't shown up by Monday morning, someone reported their vessel overdue. Rescue squads from Lake and St. Louis counties helped the Coast Guard search the area between Grand Marais and Duluth. The boat was found in the Apostle Islands on Monday morning. A pair of groups that challenged Minnesota's rules for estate wolf hunting and trapping season has been dealt another blow in court. Minnesota's Court of Appeals on Tuesday dismissed a petition aiming to undo rules that allowed for a wolf hunting season, the first of which was held starting in September. The appeals judges decided that the Center for Biological Diversity and Howling for Wolves lacked sufficient legal standing to challenge the Department of Natural Resources rules. Minnesota resumed sport hunting and trapping after the region's wolves came off the endangered list last year. Hunters and trappers then killed 413 wolves during the state's first wolf season, which ended in January. A bill seeking to impose a 5-year moratorium on wolf hunts stalled during the legislature's just completed session. Fans of environmentalist Sigurd Olsen may find out a bit more about the famed outdoor writer through an exhibit at the International Wolf Center that opens this month. The display at the Ely Center runs through the end of October, and it features photos, artifacts, and a recreation of Olson's writing shack. Olson wrote 9 books, including The Singing Wilderness, and became an advocate for preserving or creating natural areas, including the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Wolf Center Board Chairwoman Nancy Jo Tubbs says the display will also show Olson's evolution into an admirer of wolves. The exhibit includes his master's thesis, which Tubbs says called for designating Superior National Forest as a sanctuary for carnivores. Governor Mark Dayton has signed a compact that will allow Minnesota and some Canadian provinces to request and provide mutual aid to each other in the event of emergencies. The compact makes it easier and in some cases less expensive to get aid when needed. The compact covers natural disasters from floods and tornadoes to emergencies such as chemical spills or terrorist events. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Montana, New York, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are also joining the compact, along with the Canadian provinces of Alberta, Manitoba, Ontario, and Saskatchewan. There are similar cross-border agreements on the East and West coasts. The late arriving spring weather has given some Minnesota resorts and other seasonal businesses more breathing room on their property taxes. The Minnesota Department of Revenue is advising that some commercial property owners can have 2 extra weeks to make their first half tax payments. That extends their deadline to pay without penalty to the 15th of June. It's the result of a new law meant to accommodate businesses that have seen profits hampered by a cool, wet spring. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.